I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul.
God, I'm real grateful to be here. And, thanks for that introduction there. That's funny, because I remember walking into that meeting and I was thinking, because, you know, where we work was like, it was a dysfunctional workplace. And, it was a family-owned operation who it was a really big outfit. And these people ran a really big company on a very small budget. And one of the ways they did that was by beating the shit out of all the employees, you know. So we were all kind of like on edge, like, you know, and, you know, the scapegoat and blame was part of the game in that place. And, you know, I remember Larry, and it was funny because, you know what, you know, I actually had a huge spiritual lessoning through Larry, and you know, and then I'll move on with my pitch. And, I think, already in recovery when I had met you. And, everybody was on edge at this place because they were working people really hard, lots of hours. But this one time, you know, I think Larry had gotten a promotion and I think that I can't remember exactly what had happened. He was like a department head, and I was in a completely different realm in this business. And, you know, I needed something out of there, and we got into a confrontation, and I did my, you know, the puffed up my chest and said, "Ah, fuck you." And I walked away, you know, I went back to my office, you know, and I told the guy, you know, my coworker, I said, "Yeah, that fucking Larry, you know, I told that guy what time it was, you know, trying to tell me all kinds of, you know, fuck him, you know." And the guy looks at me and he goes, "Larry," he goes, "his mother just died yesterday." Oh. You know? And I was like, oh. You know, like, that's kind of like the story of my life right there, you know, like insert foot deep into mouth, right? And, you know, thank God I had a little bit of recovery back then, you know. I did have a little recovery because I remember distinctly that I went back and I apologized, you know, and admitted that I was wrong about that, to talk that way, period, you know. And that I never know what's going on with people. You know, I have no idea what's going on with what's going on inside of another human being. You know, and it's not my place to ever judge that. I try to the best of my ability to not do that. Sometimes I still fall short. You know, I still have my shortcoming comes up. I like to consider myself a thoroughbred adult child of alcoholic. You know, when I first came to ACA, was, you know, after I'd been going to Al-Anon for a little while, you know, Al-Anon had kind of toned me down a little bit. You know, they were talking about self-care, just the word was counterintuitive to me, self-care, like, okay, what does that look like? You know, be kind to yourself, kind to myself, you know, and I was, you know, like, you know, I was so constantly busy berating myself in my mind, right? You know, like, wherever, you know, I had this mental inventory of everything that I did wrong in my life, then I would constantly go over it, you know? And then I had this other list of everybody that I had to blame for it. Mm-hmm. Then I would go over that list, you know, constantly. This cycle, you know. People in Al-Anon were talking about me, you know, learning to be kind to myself, learning to love myself, learning to be patient to myself, learning to have compassion for myself. And a light went off like that, because I had been going to recovery in other programs, you know, other 12-step programs. I'd been going to AA, and I'd been going to this other program where there was a bunch of hardcores called Narcotics Anonymous. I really wanted to fit in there. I really wanted to be part of that fellowship, you know. I mean, I wanted to Fuck, I wanted to walk around with a leather jacket and be a badass, you know, and drive around on a motorcycle like this, you know, and I really wanted to be that guy, you know, and be clean, you know, be a clean and sober, mean, tough guy, you know, even if I had to lie to do it, even if I had to tell stories that weren't true, you know. I remember, I don't want to front Duncan off too much. I don't want to front Duncan off too much, but I remember kind of telling Duncan a little of this story, and he goes, "Man, you are going to be a hit in ACA." God, where was I? I know I'm headed for ACA at this point, right? So the light that went off was like, you know, I had been going to other programs, right? And I had worked steps over there, and I had learned that spiritual principles, you know, at least the, you know, one of the beautiful things that I had learned and that was real important to me was I had learned about spiritual principles, you know, and I had been going long enough that I had had some spiritual evolution, personal evolution, you know, for myself that looked kind of like I understood. I'll wait for Alana to get that.
I never have my phone on.
That's okay.
And it's a fellow traveler.
Nice.
Sorry.
That's okay. Anyways, you know, it was, you know, what I realized was these people were talking about spiritual in Al-Anon. People were talking about spiritual principles in a different way. They were talking about practicing spiritual principles, me practicing spiritual principles on myself. You know, and you know that light went on. Like, I mean, it was like, it was like getting struck by lightning. You know, I was like, man, I have been doing this shit for all these years, trying to practice something on other people that I had not even thought about doing it for myself. I mean, what was that? You know, what, like that? I mean, that bowled me over when I realized that. I found my way into the rooms of recovery when I was pretty young. I mean, I was like, I think I was 29 years old, and I came into recovery. I had gotten arrested for drunk driving. You know, I was just barely over the limit. It was the only charge I had ever gotten in my life, was this drunk driving thing. And, I had to go to some meetings, right? Some AA meetings with a core card. And this was my introduction into 12 steps. And, let me just go back to where I was. I can backtrack on that. I started going to Al-Anon and really like grooving on this self-care thing. It felt so good for me to all of a sudden go, like everybody's going, well, we need someone to do the, we need someone to take a commitment over here. And, you know, and like, I'd be like, you know, struggling with saying no, you know what I mean? I need to just take care of myself right now, you know, and you know, practicing that. And then I started doing some step work over there, and I got up to step 9, you know, and you know, I was like looking at having to make amends. I had some heavy amends that I needed to make, you know, to love close loved ones. And my sponsor looked at me and he goes, "I want you to forget about all that. I don't want you to even think about making amends to anybody else right now. accept yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was another turning point for me, you know, because, you know, I mean, it was so, like, so blunt and so, like I said, so counterintuitive, it almost did not make sense to me. You know, I'm like, how am I supposed to heal, you know, like, you know, like, okay, I'll try it. You know, I mean, it was a little bit of willingness. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And, you know, and I started getting some really good recovery. I want to say it was right about that time you know, my friend suggested that I try some ACA meetings. I was like, yeah, okay, that, you know, I qualify for that. Made sense, you know, and I came to ACA. I went to a meeting. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been one of the cha-cha meetings or something like that. You know, I stepped in there and I cannot remember. It might have been Wednesday night. Doesn't matter. It was Wednesday night, okay? And we read the 14 traits of the laundry list, and I was like, wow. You know, I was like, just like, I could not believe it. I was struggling with the demise of a bad relationship at the time. And I was like, really, like, you know, waking up like with so much anxiety over this relationship. Disproportionate, you know. I mean, and prior to the actual end of the relationship, I wanted to get out of it. I was like, I really want out of this shit, you know. Like, okay, I've had enough. But when it actually ended, this horrible, you know, this horrible feeling of fear overtook me. And I was like feeling like I felt like I was literally not going to survive. I mean, I thought I was going to die, you know, and the anxiety was horrible. I was waking up like in the middle of the night, like every night waking up at the same time, like a scary movie, you know, like three, I look at the clock, it's 3 o'clock. God damn, I'm waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I can't get back to sleep. And, you know, and I got responsibilities and stuff, you know. So, you know, when they said this fear of abandonment thing, you know, the thing about the relationships, I was like, wow, man, to just like, you know, to see that. And all the other traits really were things that resonated so deeply with me that I could not turn my back on. I had to look at this stuff. And that began my, you know, there's this other, you know, this one paragraph too, that's right after the 14 traits. It says, these 14 traits describe a personality who cannot truly love another person or truly allow a higher power to work in his or her life. As adult children, we have great difficulty accepting love as well. These are not shaming statements or predictions of doom. And I knew that. I mean, those were quite literally the story of my life right there. You know, I could not deny that. As children and teens, we were not given a true or consistent example of love. So how can we know love or recognize it as adults? Our parents shamed us or belittled us for being vulnerable children. You know, and, you know, that was something that I want to say, that sentence was something that jumped out at me, because, you know, I grew up in a really macho family. You know, the men in my family were, you know, the next oldest brother was 6 years older than me. And then there was one that was about 10 years older than me. And then there was my father, you know, and these guys were very macho, serious, chronic, some of them chronic alcoholics, you know. You know, I was always referred to as the sensitive child. You know, my mom called me that, and my father used to say shit to me like, you're just like your mother. You're acting like your mother, you know. And, you know, I mean, I would like want to fucking die when he would say that. I mean, literally, you know, I'm trying to like live up to these men, big men. And he tells me I'm like my mother. I mean, what more damaging thing could you say to a young boy? You know, I mean, What's like, he retarded or something? I know that's politically incorrect to say, but I don't care, you know? Right now I'm going back to being a kid, and you know, you're gonna have to hear my shit, okay? You know, that was hard. That was really hard. So I gotta get through this paragraph here. Our parents shamed us or belittled us for being vulnerable children, okay? In their own confusion, they called it love. They passed on what was done to them, thinking they were being caring parents. What many adult children described as love or intimacy before reaching ACA was actually codependence or rigid control. And you know, that last sentence, you see, this one paragraph basically described my life up until the point I came to ACA, because right here where it said what many adult children describe as love or intimacy, see, I was in a relationship. I had two kids that were older teenagers when my relationship finally started falling apart. You know, when it started coming apart at the seams, my wife had relapsed on alcohol, you know, and, you know, we had been, you know, I felt like my family had been dragged along, a dirt road, and it was a lot of grief, a lot of anger, a lot of resentment, a lot of fear, a lot of, my kids were taking it hard. I was taking it hard. But here's the thing, you know, on my side of the street, I realized when I read this sentence, you know, that what I was describing as love, what I thought was love in my relationship was, from my side, okay, it was actually codependence or rigid control. You know, I was trying to rigidly control what was happening at that point in my relationship, you know. And I was trying to rigidly control my own emotions too, you know, because I could not, I couldn't express what was going on. I had no place to express that, you know. I felt like I had worn my welcome out in these two other programs, you know, and it didn't matter, because every time I brought this up, you know, I started, you know, my closest people that I had, and I could have probably looked for some other people that might have, but it didn't matter, you know what I mean? God had another plan for me, you know, and I wasn't getting what I needed there anymore. You know, and I knew it. I knew I was at the end of the road there. And all of a sudden, you know, this Al-Anon thing pops up, and then ACA pops up. So, you know, once I read that paragraph, I want to say, you know, I was convinced that I was in the right place. I had never felt that before. You know, I'd been going to these 12-step programs trying to pretend that I was, you know, now I'm going to go back to where I was in my story. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be like these guys. You know, I wanted to be like these, like, you know, my brother, my next older brother, he was a real tough guy. I mean, he was the real deal, right? And he was a stone cold dope fiend and an alcoholic, but more a dope fiend, okay? And, you know, and that was so, like, the whole thing about it was, to me, was so impressive. These gangsters that he would hang around with, these criminals, these guys, they always had a bunch of girls that loved him to death, chasing him around, you know, they always had a ton of dope, you know, they got in big fights, they got busted, they had shootouts, all this crazy stuff. And I remember being a little kid going, I want to do that. I really want to do that. You know? You know, the problem was, I was so little, you know? I mean, I could never go. I'd be like, I want to go. No, you can't go. You're too little. You got to stay home with your mom. You know? As I got older, you know, I literally, want to say that I invented this persona. You know, I want to say that I went down that road in my own way, you know, and it involved a lot of embellishing my story, you know, a lot of outright lying, you know. Yes, I would, You know, I could convince you that I was a tough guy. You know, I learned to do that really well. And, you know, there were people, I remember some people telling me, God, I didn't know, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, I'm just a nice guy, you know, like, really. And mean people scare me. Mean people scare the shit out of me. You know, they really do. You know? God, man, there were times when I found myself in really weird situations, man, trying to maintain this, this thing, just like thinking I am gonna get my ass kicked. I am gonna get my ass kicked big time right now. And my higher power would get me out of a situation, you know, and you know, the reinforcement I would get would look something like this. So the people I was with would go, man, I can't believe you did that. That's incredible, man. You must be a tough guy. All I gotta say is that about that is that, you know, today I, through the program of ACA, the support that I found here, you know, I want to say it's been everything. It's been the step work, it's been the fellowship, it's been this book, which is the most incredible book I've ever read in my life. Okay, it's all right here, you know, it's all right here. You know, I found my seat in ACA. You know, I would go to, like, you know, like I started out to say earlier, you know, I'd go to these other 12-step programs, you know, and I would sit there and I'd be like, you know, the people are like the people I grew up with. These people are like my family, you know, and I would feel comfortable to a certain extent. And then they would start talking about how they drank. And I'd be like, okay, am I in the right place? You know, I mean, you know, I'm the guy that, like, drinks two beers and I want to throw up, you know? I mean, that's the truth. That's the honest truth, you know? So, you know, I would, you know, I'd have to, like, you know, like, whenever I was partying with people that were, like, serious, I'd have to put on this act, you know, that was, like, really, like, weird. Same thing with narcotics. You know, I mean, it was the same stuff, you know, I mean, only you can't lie about that one. So, you know, I would just make up stories about that, you know, and when you're in Narcotics Anonymous, nobody's using, right? I mean, everybody's trying to stay clean, so you don't have to prove that you're using. You can just say you were using, you know, it was easy. You know, it was really tough for me to own up to that. I'll tell you, that was really a tough pill for me to, you know, tell people that I loved, you know, that in these programs, you know, sponsees, you know, to sit down and talk to them and say, look, you know, I have to be, you know, I couldn't save my face and my ass at the same time is really what it came down to. You know, it was time to own up. It's time to own up. It was time to get clear. It's time to get real. Time to get honest. And, you know, when I got to ACA, you know, I read the book, I started reading stories and realizing that, you know, that everything I did was because I was afraid to just be myself. You know, I was afraid to let who I really was, let it out, because, you know, in my family of origin, I couldn't do that. I had to be somebody else. You know, and I wanted to be somebody else. I really wanted, you know, I really wanted to be an alcoholic, you know? I wanted to be able to drink like my dad. You know, I wanted to be my oldest brother who, you know, all three of these guys are dead, by the way. You know, my two older brothers both didn't even live to be 30. You know, I mean, they died real young. Drove it till the wheels fell off. Very tragic, you know. Heavy wreckage that I've had to work my way through. You know, and it amazes me how even long after these guys were dead, I was still trying to gain their approval. you know? Only I would do it through other people that reminded me of them, you know, that I would like, I would seek out these relationships and these programs that were like either people that I could fix or people that could be like big brothers, you know what I mean, and treat me kind of shitty, you know, and have a kind of a weird relationship like that, you know. I don't want to say abuse me, because I think I was probably above being literally abused, but I was an easy mark. I could be taken advantage of, you know. I mean, I wanted to help so bad, you know. I wanted to rescue people. I wanted to rescue addicts, you know. And that was like, I felt like in my mind, I think I justified a lot of the bullshit that I talked in particularly in Narcotics Anonymous. I justified that bullshit by saying, you know, by saying that I want to try and use my brother's death to help people, you know, to help addicts, which is a noble cause. You know, I mean, you know, okay, you know, I'll give myself a good point there, you know, but it's just like any other codependent relationship. You know, I end up suffering. I end up, you know, I end up putting myself last. You know, I really love the tools that I've learned in this program. You know, the steps are incredible. The perspective on the steps. You know, I came to this program without a loving higher power. I just want to check my clock real quick here. You know, I didn't realize this because I'd been in other 12-step programs for a long time, but I didn't realize that I didn't have a loving higher power. You know, I couldn't see that. You know, it's just like everything else in my life. I thought I was doing everything right. What the hell is wrong? My relationship was like that. Jesus, I did everything right. I went to work. I was responsible. And it didn't work. You know, what the hell? And my program was the same way. I was like, I did all these things the way they told me to, and it didn't work. The thing that I didn't realize was that, you know, I did not have a loving higher power. You know, I may have had one, but I didn't trust it, you know. And, you know, since I've come to ACA, you know, thank God for the willingness born from desperation, because, you know, I really hit a bottom with that right here. And, you know, I started trying, you know, little by little to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, you know. And you know, I didn't really believe that God was gonna had the power to do anything for me, or, you know, I didn't think it was gonna work. But, you know, I had gotten to a point where I think I realized that that I was out of options. You can laugh at that, okay? You don't think that's funny, huh? Okay, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, being at the bottom is a trip. I mean, it's a trip. I mean, it's like, I don't know how that works. But the minute I am clearly there, you know, shit happens, you know, and it's usually good stuff. And, you know, my sponsor told me to, you know, that maybe I needed to pray in a way that's asking a higher power to show me in a way that I can understand that he loves me. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds pretty cornball. You know? But, you know, I'm out of options. You know, so why not, you know? And so I started doing that. And you know what started happening? Nothing got better. Nothing got better. Still going wrong, right? But what I realized was, you know, I've always had to learn every lesson the hard way. You know, and I realized that this is the way my higher power speaks to me. You know, and That may sound odd for, you know, like almost like believing in a punishing God, right? But I realize that, you know, that I'm the one making all the choices and getting myself into this shit, okay? And, you know, my higher power, you know, is the one that's, you know, allowing it to happen in order for me to learn to move closer to my higher power. You know, I mean, I saw it very clearly like a mathematical equation. Pain equals moving closer to God, you know, like more dependence, not moving away from self-dependence to dependence on a power greater than myself, you know. And, you know, because that's what was happening. And I started seeing that that was like the story of my life and the story of my recovery, you know. I don't believe I wasted any time in any 12-step program. It was all designed to get me tonight, you know. And I am very grateful to be here. You know, I love all you people. I really have learned how to feel my feelings. You know, I'm so grateful for that, to be able to, to feel, you know, because that paragraph described it. You know, I always wondered why I felt so numb. You know, how come I can't feel it? I want to feel the love. You know, I want to feel something, anything, you know? And today I can feel it. You know, I feel it when people are loving on me, man. I just like, it's like I want to bathe in it. You know, it feels so good to allow people to love me, you know, and for me to be able to love people that freely, to have the spiritual freedom that I've found here, you know. I mean, you know, my life is, you know, it's not picture perfect. You know, a lot of you guys know that I've been struggling with a unique relationship for quite a while now. And you know, I want to say that, you know, more recently, it's, you know, it's taken a strange twist, you know, and I really believe it's a result of my recovery, in that I'm feeling more free than I've ever felt in my entire life. I mean, and I don't really know, I'm not sure what's going on with that relationship. All I know is that I can see the impact on all my loved ones. You know, I can see that everybody feels, they're feeling the love too. You know, they can feel, I'm feeling it, they're feeling it. Particularly my children are both like, I have never seen them so well adjusted before, ever. I mean, I look at them and I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is happening here? Everybody seems like they're getting well, you know? And you know, this is like miraculous. You know, there's joy in my pad. I walk in my pad and like, I can feel the love there, you know? And I don't know that I've ever felt that way walking into my own home, ever. So I can only say that my recovery is definitely working for me, and I really want to thank you guys for being so supportive, you know, particularly when I fall short. You know, when I fall short, man, I've noticed that you guys really, you know, you don't abandon me. You know, you guys are here for me, and I want to be here for you guys too. You know, I love this program, and you know, and I hope it never goes away. I hope it's always here, you know. And that's it. Thanks.